All right, we're live. It's the Android Headlines Show, episode 98. We are wrapping up Mobile World Congress 2015. The show technically ends today, or ended today. Really, there wasn't a whole lot going on after yesterday. All the big stuff all came out Sunday before the event even really officially started on Monday. But that was when all the good stuff happened. But to backtrack, my name's Jeremiah. I'm joined by Nick tonight. You want to say what's up, Nick?
How's it going, man?
And it's just me and Nick holding things down because Alex is currently on an airplane coming back from Barcelona, Spain. He was on site taking pictures, writing stuff up. He got some time with the team from Cyanogen, Inc., and had a really good interview, really good talk with them. But let's jump into, I guess, backtrack to Sunday. And we have these a little bit out of order. But so the first big thing Sunday we saw was from Huawei. They had the first event Sunday morning. And Nick, you want to talk a little bit about that? The Huawei Watch and stuff?
Yeah, so Huawei didn't really announce anything interesting, I would say, outside of the watch. The Huawei Watch is a round one, sort of like the Moto 360. I guess the big thing here, though, is that just like LG's round watches, it's a fully 360 degree screen rather than the little flat tire on the bottom like the Moto has. Just like LG's, it has an OLED. So you're going to be getting better battery life, especially if you use the always-on screen. It uses the Snapdragon 400, 512 megs of RAM, basically all the same specs as the rest of the Android Wear watches out there, besides the Moto again. So I guess in terms of software and hardware features like that, you know, none of them really differ at all. But style-wise, this thing is really, really nice. You got all-metal build. You got a couple different bands that I think you can choose out of the box. It's not going to launch until the summer, but they're going to have it in three different colors. I believe it's black, silver, and gold, right? Do you remember?
Yep, that's right. And they're, none of this really finalized. So they had a bunch of different bands kind of interchangeably on the different watch faces and the different housings. It was kind of like a mix and match. Let's see what people like. None of it has been finalized yet. When the watch actually launches in the summer, they'll have all that stuff kind of worked out. But, man, this thing looks really, really good. Like Moto 360 good. Remember when the Moto 360 and the G Watch were first announced and everybody was, you know, falling all over themselves to try and get a hold of the Moto 360?
Exactly.
That's how I felt about this, about the Huawei Watch. Like, it was really kind of a bombshell. Not really, nobody, I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure someone somewhere was expecting this. I was not expecting anything this exciting out of Huawei Sunday morning.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we were going to get another flagship or what, but that was definitely a great surprise, and I totally agree. Like, I don't really care for LG's watch designs, any of them. I don't know why. Like, even the original, the G Watch, I picked the Gear Live over it because I just didn't like the way it looked. I don't know. They don't do anything for me. But Huawei and the Moto, I'm definitely totally on board for. They're just phenomenal looking pieces of hardware. And that's, at the end of the day, that is really what differentiates these watches, is how this thing looks on your wrist. And I think this is going to look better on more wrists than most of the watches out there.
Yep. I mean, it looks like a high-end watch. It's probably going to be priced accordingly. I think we're talking $300 plus.
Yeah. I would expect at least $250.
Yep. So there's that. If you're going to get a watch that looks great and is made of premium materials, you're going to pay for it. So you got to kind of be prepared for that. But it doesn't have that like blank space on the bottom of the circle the way the Moto 360 does. It takes up the whole watch face.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nice design there too. And you're totally right. The look of the thing is what's going to differentiate it, because the internals are all the same. It's running Android Wear. But it looks great. The other stuff from Huawei was just kind of some mid-range phones and nothing really exciting. And then we rolled right into HTC, and they announced the One M9. So the One M9 is, I was really excited about it. It's what the One M8 should have been, or kind of what we wanted the One M8 to be. It's not a massive departure from the M7 or the M8, same design guidelines. Still has big bezels on the bottom for the boom sound speakers, but it is a little bit shorter. It's not quite as wide. It's easier to hold. Spec-wise, it's got a 5-inch display, 1080p, so they did not step it up to a 2K display. 3 gigs of RAM, Snapdragon 810 processor, 32 gigs of internal storage, and it has a micro SD card slot. The camera is the 20 megapixel Toshiba sensor on the back. I think it's a Toshiba sensor.
Yes.
I read somewhere that it was a Sony sensor, but it's a Toshiba sensor.
That's probably someone who screwed up.
So we're going with the Toshiba sensor. And the
I think my
four-megapixel.
biggest disappointment there was no OIS again.
Yeah, and that is, it's going to be a problem for them. It's an improvement. They took the 4-megapixel camera off the back and put it on the front for
Which is
selfies and
smart.
stuff. Yeah, which is great. If you're trying to take a picture of yourself and somebody else in a restaurant or a bar or something, and there's not a lot of light, that's perfect. Let's see what else. 2800, it's 2840 milliamp hour battery. It's going to be available in four colors. So gunmetal, a dark gunmetal, gray, gold, silver, and pink. It supports Category 6 LTE. The boom sound speakers actually are improved a little bit. They're a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. They don't take up a whole lot much more space. You still have that giant, HTC black bar on the bottom that Nick is not a fan of. But
Yeah.
so the phone will be available in mid-March in Asia, North America, and Europe. And it's going to be running Lollipop with Sense 7 on top of it. Alex got some hands-on time with it, and it looks great. This is the camera's not quite everything that I wanted it to be because it didn't have OIS, but the software that was running on it. So I also saw a couple of previews go out on The Verge, on Android Central. The Verge said the camera was garbage, which really ticked me off because then they later on said that the software is not finished. The camera
Don't
software doesn't have
ever
all the
listen to
features
The
in it.
Verge when it comes to cameras. Just don't.
When it comes to hardware reviews, man, they just horrible.
They're clueless.
I was really disappointed. Android Central said, and this was my initial thought as well, it's pre-release software. The firmware is not fully up to date. The camera software doesn't have support for shooting in RAW, or all the features aren't baked in yet.
Yeah,
So,
none of the Camera 2 API stuff.
yep. And HTC said we're still tweaking this before it's released. So there'll be a software updates for that. Hopefully the camera is significantly improved. It's already better than what was on the M8.
Yeah, at
So
the very least, there's that much. And I have to say, it's really nice to see that they upped that battery too. Because I know for a long
yes.
time they used a super small battery on their phones, and now 2800 milliamp hour makes it what, 300 bigger than the S6? Now I've forgotten what the S6 is.
The S6 is, yeah, 2500.
2550, that's right.
Yep.
So, that's pretty significant. Plus, I think the biggest thing to come away from this is I can guarantee once again HTC is probably going to have the best user experience when it comes to just overall software. I have never met a single person that has ever used an HTC One, either M7 or M8, that has left dissatisfied in terms of experience. Their stuff is super fast, super fluid, it's designed really well, They do a great job with all the features they put in there, making them easy to use, easy to find, just generally accessible. And I have no reason to think they won't have that done here. So they definitely addressed some of the problems. They definitely did not address some of the other problems, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people, especially after the Samsung announcement, which we'll get into the new Samsung phones in just a second, but especially after the Samsung announcement, people kind of giving HTC flack for not changing a whole lot, just kind of evolving and incrementally improving their flagship. But they didn't need to. With the M7, they totally redesigned everything. And so now they're just slowly making things better. It's going to be a great phone. Like you said, you talk to people who had an M7 or an M8 outside of the camera, those people love their phones.
Yeah, and I know people who still have M7s that don't even care about upgrading. Again, I guess other than the camera, that'd be their biggest complaint. Everything else is still great.
So this will be another one. And it's shaping up to be a fantastic phone. We'll get review units and get some stuff written up about that. And then HTC announced a fitness tracker called the Gear. No, I'm sorry, not the Gear. It starts with a G. Gosh darn it. It's not gosh darn it either. I'm drawing a blank on it. I'll look it up.
That's no big deal.
Not a big deal, right? It's just a fitness tracker. They did partner with Under Armour, so it works with the Under Armour app on your phone.
Grip.
Grip, thank you. I knew it started with a
Sorry.
G. No, it's good. Thanks for saving my neck there. But yeah, like I said, it works with Under Armour, does all the fitness tracker stuff. And then they announced the Vive, 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 in partnership with Valve. Talk to us about that, man.
Yes, so I can't figure out if this thing is actually called Revive or just Vive, because if you go to some places, they call it Vive. If you go to HTC's website, in the title it says Revive.
So the RE is branding. It's the line. Like the phone is the one, HTC One, and then you have the M7, M8, M9. You don't say re for
It's
the
bizarre.
yeah, you don't say re for the fitness tracker, because that's the re grip.
Regrip.
And then the VR headset is the revive, but you just say
I
grip
guess
and
the
revive.
re is just their, I guess, accessory line or whatever the heck you want to call that.
Now
Non-phone.
they did say that the camera is still the re camera. So do with that what you will.
Whatever. So, however you want to call this thing, there's a re and there's a vive somewhere in there. And it looks unbelievably amazing. So, ever since using an Oculus Rift, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that, I've been totally stoked about this VR thing. And this year absolutely looks like the year of VR. So without getting too much off track on all that stuff, HTC has jumped into the game here, and it looks like they may very well have the best solution of all of the manufacturers coming out with stuff this year. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that they've partnered with Valve. And if you're a gamer out there, you've probably heard of Valve, know Valve for the Half-Life series, the Left 4 Dead games, Counter-Strike, countless classic titles. They're an absolutely amazing developer, and the biggest thing they have right now, of course, is Steam, which is their digital distribution platform, which has completely gotten rid of PC gaming at the retail level and replaced it with totally downloadable stuff through Steam. So with this, HTC made just really what seems to be an amazing piece of hardware. So you have the screen itself. It's actually going to be two screens, one for each eye. It's got a 90 hertz refresh rate, which means that your games are going to need to run at 90 frames a second, which is, that's kind of a high target to shoot for. But if you've ever used a VR type of headset, you'll know that the higher the refresh rate, the more realistic it is. Once you drop under 60 hertz, it really kills the immersion. Plus, the higher the refresh rate, the less people get sick. So people that have a lot of motion sickness, once you push way higher than 75, that number of people that still get sick goes down significantly. In terms of sensors, this thing has over 70 sensors on it. Probably the coolest one they're calling Lighthouse, I believe. I've already, what the heck? Yeah, I think it's Lighthouse. Basically, this thing works sort of like a Kinect does in that it can map the room, but it does it in a three-dimensional space. So whereas the Kinect can just sort of see in front of the thing and kind of map, maybe layers of things, this can see 360 around the room. So it should be able to detect your hands, like you're moving your hands around the virtual world. Just really, really incredible stuff that they're doing that it doesn't seem like you need anything but the headset.
Just interrupt real quick. There are
That's fine.
sensors. So the demos all had like sensors. Looked like the little, like the ping pong balls,
Yeah.
ping pong ball sensors, like you see on when.
Motion capture.
Yep. Thank you. So it's those kind of positioned around the room. I don't know how that's going to work if you have to put that stuff in your living room or not, but.
I was under the impression that the final one did not require that. I think that's probably more for like the show floor because it's going to just get confused.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. What I understand is that you don't have to have that for the final one. So the developer version of this is going to be going out in probably a couple weeks. They said spring, which, that's in 3 weeks, 2, 3 weeks, beginning. So final consumer product will be the end of the year. That'll be launching aside Valve's Steam machines and all the other initiatives that they've been putting together. And if you're interested in seeing some hands-on video of that, there's some stuff around there. There's also been a leaked, I don't know if it's Portal 3 footage, but there's some kind of Portal demo, and it looks absolutely incredible. It's like maybe 30 seconds long, but it's totally worth watching. So go find it. Just YouTube it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really couldn't care less about virtual reality stuff until I started seeing some of the reactions to this HTC Vive headset. People going in saying, "I don't care about virtual reality," and then coming out going, "This is absolutely amazing. I need to own this." So the hardware that they had was, early builds, but apparently it works really well. It's amazing. So, yeah, that was the exciting stuff. HTC dropped that bomb on us, and it's a big, big deal. They're
Yeah.
branching out in a lot of directions, and this partnership with Valve is really it's Valve's partnership with HTC for the hardware, because this is all about Valve and what they're doing with gaming. So, and then we moved on to Samsung. And Samsung really kind of rocked everybody's world. They came out with two premium phones that really stepped it up across the board. The Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge with a lowercase e. We've got it up on the site with an uppercase e in a bunch of places, so we need to fix that. But I don't know why they went with the lowercase e. Both of these phones, though, have 5.1-inch Super AMOLED displays. They're Quad HD, 2560 by 1440 resolution, so 2K displays. They have Gorilla Glass 4 on the front and back with the metal frame, so no plastic. If you were ever disappointed in Samsung's cheap-feeling plastic devices, you don't have to worry about that anymore. They are focusing squarely on Apple and the iPhone and making really high quality devices. It's got glass on the back, so even if it is Gorilla Glass 4, it's going to scratch at some point. Over time, you'll get, hairline scratches and stuff, but it is what it is. They look really fantastic, and Alex said they feel really great too, really premium. They've got Samsung's Exynos octa-core chips in them.
Which is a beast.
Yeah, this Exynos 7420. It's got four 1.5 gigahertz Cortex A53 chips, and then four 2.1 gigahertz Cortex A57 cores, and a Mali T760 GPU. So monstrous performance. And supposedly they got rid of all the lag with TouchWiz, whether it's the processor, whether it's, you know, what they've done with the software to optimize it. Samsung has slimmed down TouchWiz quite a bit. Still TouchWiz, but they're launching with Lollipop, and it shows through. Like, you can see a lot of Lollipop in what Samsung has done with TouchWiz. So that's an improvement also. And then the camera. So they've got 16-megapixel cameras on the back, 5-megapixel cameras on the front. It's got OIS, LED flash. Let's see. They've got an f1.9 aperture. So Samsung claims they take really great low-light photos. 2,550 milliamp hour battery. We already mentioned that. So the battery's not as big as maybe we would have hoped, but both of these phones are monsters, man. They're just beasts and really high quality. The S6 Edge, where that differs, is in the Edge. It's got the Note 4 Edge, except on both sides. So the screen wraps around both edges and makes the edges a little thin. But Samsung has implemented this really cool like swipe in gestures from the left and right. So yeah, just I was impressed and intrigued by the M9 because it's such a great device, just better now, you know, kind of over what HTC did with the M8. And then Samsung came out with these. And I got to say, man, I'm tempted, you know, the S6 Edge in particular. And that's saying a lot. I haven't been a fan of Samsung for years and years.
Yep, and I'm sure, you know, of course you know, and then anybody out there who's watched us for a while probably has seen my decline with Samsung. I used to be a big Samsung fan, and then the Note 3 came out, and after that it's just been a downward spiral until this. So this is the first time in a while that I've really been impressed with them. And I think it's really nice to see them doing different stuff. And it's nice to see them really embracing Google's vision for Android. So the stuff that they have done with TouchWiz is pretty remarkable, to say the least. I mean, just how much material design, I guess just language in general, they've been using. A lot of stuff really looks like stock Lollipop with a few tweaks. So like instead of just icons, they put text there for people who look at, you know, these icons of random things that don't really make any sense. Oh, well, they got rid of all that and just put a text there, which I know I've heard some people criticize that because certain text is not always going to fit there or whatever, but I think it does a lot to help with really the confusing icons. I mean, I know even now when I long press and go to copy paste, I have to sit there for a second and look at the icons, even though I do it, I don't know how many times a day. It's always weird to me just looking at an icon with no text. So it's nice to see them actually taking a look at design language and seeing, okay, well, we're not just going to do this for the sake of doing it. We're going to do this because this makes sense and this enhances things for people rather than, hey, look at all the crap we stuck on this phone.
Right, and the fact that they didn't stick so much crap on the phone. They pulled out a lot of the Samsung apps and features that used to come preloaded. Yep. Some of that stuff you can still get. Yeah, through Galaxy apps, but it's not preloaded. Some of it is preloaded, but it's not turned on. So a lot of the Samsung features that are baked in are not enabled by default. And even little things like slimming down the notification pane, they're just not piling so much crap in there.
Yeah.
So it looks better and it's easier to use. And if you want to add all that crap back in, feel free. But it's a much better experience out of the box.
And I like that they've done full theme support too. So I think, I guess just depending on how they handle it, given the fact that Samsung's so huge, if they really make this open, we could have a lot of themes.
Yep. And that's another thing that, especially overseas in, you know, China and other places in Asia, and we've seen it with CyanogenMod for years as well. But people love that stuff, and the fact that they're listening and they're paying attention.
Yeah.
HTC did the same thing. They, listening and paying attention, trying to fix some things. Samsung had a lot further to go. They also had more money, so, but they had a lot further to go. Completely changing up the design, and really stepping up their game, on the hardware front, and then making things easier on the software front.
Yeah, and I think it's nice to see how much they've changed too. Like even with the Samsung Pay thing, they didn't just say, "All right, well, everybody's doing a payment thing now. We're just gonna slap the same old crap on that everybody else is doing and call it a day." They went and they got Loop Pay, which, as you know, I've been talking about for a while now. I'm a big fan of. Ever since I saw it at CES and got a review unit, I've been using this thing, and it's so far it's flawless for me. It works everywhere, and it's just a
So,
super easy way
back
to
up
pay.
just a second and talk to us, because they also announced Samsung Pay. Talk to us
Yes.
about Samsung Pay and what that is and Loop Pay and all that.
So, Samsung purchased Loop Pay, I guess it was about a month ago. And basically, just a quick thing on Loop Pay, it uses MST, which is magnetic strip transfer. So essentially, this thing, you would swipe a card into the thing. And I don't know how Samsung is going to be doing this exactly, but Loop Pay comes with a little dongle that you plug into the Loop Pay either case or the little card size thing, and you literally swipe your card and it transfers the magnetic strip information to the Loop Pay module. So you take the Loop Pay device, and in this case it would be the Galaxy S6 or whatever, and you would put it on the actual magnetic strip for the card reader, and you would click either the button on the Loop Pay thing, or the S6 has a fingerprint thing just like the iPhone, so you would just hold it. And it literally transfers the magnetic strip information from the back of the phone to the reader. So, in 90% of retail stores out there that don't have NFC, you don't have to change anything about what you're doing. It does both NFC and the magnetic strip transfer. So, it literally works with pretty much everything out there. There's very few places that this won't work in.
And so the S6 and the S6 Edge have a new fingerprint reader
Yes.
that is supposed to work just as well as Touch ID does on the iPhone. And that, I'm assuming, is going to be the trigger
Yeah.
for Samsung Pay. They've also built into the home button a quick launch for the camera. So
Yeah,
the
double tap.
camera, yep, you double tap and the camera's supposed to always be running in the background, so it launches in less than a second. Again, we'll see what that does to the battery, but super convenient if you're trying to take a quick photo. I'm
Yeah,
pretty
I
excited about
think that.
Samsung Pay, though.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that because, again, unlike Google Wallet and Apple Pay and all these other things where the retailers have to build stuff out for it, this doesn't care. The retailer could have a new thing, could have an old thing, doesn't matter. It still works. So I think it was really a brilliant move on their part in saying, we don't have to have you guys expand. Go ahead because obviously you're going to over the next couple of years. But for now, here it is. We got both.
Yep, and they're going to market the crap out of it. So, there's a lot of reasons that I'm excited about the new Samsung phones. So, well done, Samsung, for
Yeah.
sparking an interest in me that was
For
not there
real.
before. And from there, we got some hands-on time with the LG Watch Urbane and the Urbane LTE. Those were nothing new. LG announced those a few days or a week or so before MWC, but we did get some hands-on time with them. The Urbane LTE is huge
Yeah.
because it's got that LTE radio and everything built in. It is running webOS. LG said it was not running webOS. It is running webOS. I think we had a classic case of departments in opposite sides of the on opposite ends of the company not talking to each other. So the two versions, the Watch Urbane is running Android Wear and the Urbane LTE is running webOS. It's going to be pretty much the same functionality, but what else? What else? Oh, Sony had announced the Xperia Z4 tablet on Monday. That was everything we were expecting. Alex also got some hands-on time with the Z4 tablet and the Xperia Z3, both running Lollipop. And Sony said that Lollipop is coming very, very soon for the Xperia devices, the Z3, the Z2, the Z1. Originally, they had said that was coming in February, and they obviously didn't make that timeline. But they did say that it's coming very, very soon. And it looks great. It's mostly Google's version of Android with a little touch of Sony stuff. Sony apps still look different. But I can't wait to get that on my Z2. What else? Was there anything else from Sunday or Monday? Big stuff?
Can't think of anything specific. We had our the Cyanogen interview. I know we were just going to mention that. We weren't really going to go in detail with that. But Alex got to sit down with the guys at Cyanogen and basically talk with them about what they've been doing with the company, their new hardware partners with Alcatel OneTouch and with you out in India, which is technically Micromax, but whatever. And then just stuff that they've been doing with the company. They've had a little bit of a rebranding, so we have Cyanogen Mod is what we all know and probably love. It's our open source, community driven, people build it here for various devices, whatever kind of thing. And then Cyanogen OS is their rebranding for the commercial model. So phones like the OnePlus One, the Eureka, the upcoming Alcatel phones, the things that actually ship with Cyanogen on board are going to be called Cyanogen OS. And those will feature specific apps and different things that Cyanogen Mod won't be able to because they're closed source.
Some of the stuff like we saw with the OnePlus One,
yep.
Camera features and they're doing
audio
a bunch
effects.
They're doing a bunch of audio stuff with Waves. They talked about that in the interview with Alex.
Yes.
So a bunch of high-end audio. Steve Kondik is a bit of an audiophile, so he really likes having good audio on your smartphone. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So. And I have to say, out of all the phones I review, the OnePlus One's audio still has yet to be beat for me.
Yep.
And it's yep. probably because of that stuff.
Yeah, it's a focus and kind of a passion for him personally. So.
Makes me happy.
Yep. Alex also got a little bit of hands-on time at that interview with the new Cyanogen OS phone from Alcatel. It's got an octa-core chip, 2 gigs of RAM, 1080p screen, 13-megapixel camera on the back. So the specs are decent. It's going to be priced, I think, at $299. But that's the next phone that's coming out of the box with Cyanogen OS on it. Not going to be as high-end like with what OnePlus is doing. But it's still going to be priced. Priced really well, and hopefully we'll give Alcatel a chance to kind of break into the U.S. market too.
Yep. There's not. I know you teased a new phone for India called Project. Well, the thing is Project Caesar. Obviously, that's not the name of the phone, but that'll be coming out in April. That'll be a Cyanogen Mod 12 phone. Well, I guess it'd be Cyanogen OS 12. Sorry, I'm gonna screw that up for a while.
Right. I'm going to have a hard time switching from CM to Cyanogen OS to, what is it, COS, I guess you could say?
Yeah.
And they were, we ran into a thing with them this week where they were adamant, hey, these are two different things, two different projects. One's a community-driven build. The other one is, internal company thing that we're doing. So that's important to get that right. But yeah, that interview's funny. So you guys definitely go check that out. Alex and Steve Kondik kind of get into it. Steve tells a story of walking through an airport with a bunch of Samsung tablets, and some guy comes up behind him and says, "Hey, is that the new Samsung iPad?" With a being serious. So pretty ridiculous. But it's a great interview. Alex did a really good job. What else? So from there, after Sony's announcement on Monday, there really wasn't a whole lot of other like big Android stuff, that I cared about. There was a bunch of other stuff announced. Alex got a whole bunch of hands-on time with, he got the Oppo R5. I'm looking through the list here to see what else, if there was anything else that we needed to talk about. I think those were the big things. All the stuff that we cared about. Like I said, it was mostly on Sunday when with HTC and Samsung. So we did see, heard some rumors this week about the next OnePlus device might have a more premium build made out of metal. And LG also kind of let slip that they are working on a more premium line of phones that will be kind of a step up from the G line, so the G2,
Yes.
G3, upcoming G4.
And then speaking of them just briefly, they also said that they're going to be I think revealing or releasing LG's 4.0 UI before the G4.
Okay.
So that'll obviously being 4.0 will be a totally redesigned UI. I'm assuming to be more like Lollipop, sort of like how Samsung's been doing. So
It
it'll be
needs to be
interesting.
because their Lollipop builds were kind of rushed out. They didn't really look any different from their KitKat builds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they run fine, but they didn't take a lot of time to update the interface. So, the other big thing this week, not necessarily MWC related, but Pebble announced the Pebble Time on Kickstarter. Broke all kinds of records with that. Made Kickstarter and themselves a whole bunch of money. But then they also announced the Pebble Time Steel. So this is a kind of an upgrade on the original Pebble. Still an e-ink display, but it's in color. Personally, I don't like the look of it. I think the Pebble Time looks like it came out of a gumball machine. The Pebble Time Steel looks a little bit better. But they're also touting, the week-long battery life like you get on the original Pebble. So, if you're interested, that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, at the very least, their interface is really interesting.
Yeah,
You know, whether you like
and
the style or not is one thing, but I think functionally it looks pretty cool.
they raised tens of millions of dollars on this Kickstarter. So there are a ton of people that are really
Yeah.
interested in this. I just am not personally a big fan of the look of it. But yeah, that I think that'll do it, man. That'll wrap us up for episode 98 of the Android Headline Show, recapping MWC 2015. So you can find us on Twitter at Android Headline without the S, on Instagram, same thing, Android Headline without the S, Google Plus and Facebook. I think we're on Pinterest. So, we're playing around a little bit with Snapchat. So, just having fun. Any place that you are online, we'll be there bringing you Android news. So, Nick, thanks for hanging out and chatting with me tonight, man.
Absolutely, it's been a pleasure.
Have a good night.
You too.